This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing She's All That. And if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Right about now. Are you ready?
For a dry kiss. Are you ready?
Thank you, Usher. Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to rom-coms where we recap one. Oh, Feb, woo, no, you didn't, you wear a movie in the month of February. Today, we are doing our final movie, She's All That. And I am here with my warrior of a podcast partner, Miss Tamara Cosio, who fights through the sickness to show up for you, our gentle listeners, so that your listening ears can keep on listening to our beautiful voices.
Whoa. Yes, that would explain my huskier than usual voice.
Ooh, sexy.
I am here with Corinne Eddy. She's all that. That's all I'm saying. Mic drop.
Oh my gosh. So you are here today with us, Tam, and you are a little, you're a little sick. How was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, shut your face. It happened on Valentine's. It was February 14th, 2023 when it happened. I caught something from a coworker
who said she had allergies.
And her allergies saw fit to crap all over me and my immune system Valentine's night. And I have barely recovered enough to record. We had to push our recording back quite a few days because I was just bedridden. It was so bad. I have not been that sick in a very long time, but I am better. A little huskier, a little worse for wear, but still here, ready to podcast.
Woo! Well, I'm so glad. And, you know, I suggested to Tam, we can just do 3 movies this month and you can take a sick day weekend. But she was like, no.
So, and I hope I don't regret it because you've made me laugh quite a few times in our initial pre-recording sesh where we catch up and I have coughed. I've coughed heartily every time I laugh. So I'm like, don't make me laugh, Corinne. This just don't make me laugh. That's all.
In this very somber episode of One Dry Kiss.
Damn it.
We will be covering She's All That, a very unfunny movie.
Okay. I can hamper the coughs. I just have to laugh really weird. And like shotgun blast. So I don't kaffaw too heartily and set myself off. Oh boy. So how was your Valentine's Day, speaking of? A very lovely performance with your father.
Oh, well, yeah, that was the weekend before, but yes. Saturday, I performed in Love Songs in Chocolate with my dad playing on the ukulele and me singing, if you are chilly, here, take my sweater. And then Sunday, I performed in the church service as well. And I said a few things about music and connection before I sang, which touched Tamara deeply.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because totally music's been in your life like since you were a youngster. And I've kind of been privy to that because we went to Country Roads together. Remember singing rounds with you and your parents and your sister, like music has always been like an integral part of your life. And everything that you said before your performance, like really rang true with me too, because Corinne equals music all the time. I can't think of Corinne without hearing a song in my heart.
It is true. When I sing on the podcast, it is not done performatively. It is just how I am in my day-to-day life. Yeah. If I am ever lucky enough to find a life partner person, one of the things that they will have to appreciate about me is that, or endure, whatever, is that I burst into song all the time.
Yes, and often it is accompanied by a little dance as well.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't help it. I need to move.
I I'm so excited. Ding, 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 ding. And I just can't hide. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. She's flailing her head back. She looks like the dance performance in this movie, right up to Funk Soul Brothers.
Oh, my God. No, I was thinking about what's-his-name's dance performance. Matthew Lillard's dance performance.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of dancing in this movie, and yes, we are here for it.
Yes. I had two different possibilities for the opener. One was doing it to, like, Funk Soul Brother, which is what we did. And then the other one was, kiss me beneath the melting twilight. Lead me out on the moonlit floor. But I realized that with your voice the way it is, perhaps not the best one to do.
I appreciate that. I could do it. I could handle it. Kiss me. I need to be a king twilight. Jeez. Fuck you, Cred.
It's the most action I've gotten in quite a while, gentle listeners. Thanks, Tam.
No problem. Oh, I am so glad to be up right now, though. I am so glad to be upright.
You're probably going to end up taking a massive nap after we're done recording, though. You're like, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah, and I'm done. And if I start, like, falling asleep during the last portion where it's your end, you're like, take it home. Yeah, just clap really loudly, and I apologize. It's not you, it's me. I swear. I sadly do love this movie and always have. Although I know it's super problematic and a very good candidate for Feb. Ooh, no, you didn't, Ari.
I actually was surprised that you chose it for Feb. Ooh, no, you didn't, you, Ari. So I don't think of this movie as problematic. So I'm interested in...
Are you kidding? Oh, okay. So we have to tell the gentle listeners.
Yes.
That not only was... Okay, it's not. It's... The fact that he's trying to change her to be prom queen, well, problematic.
Sure.
But I initially was going to pick Twilight because that one is just like, oh, hello, stalker. Hello, vampire stalker that's trying to control and protect me at all points. So I picked Twilight for Feb. Woo, no, you didn't, Neri. And I was trying my damnedest to find some place to watch it, and I could not. And the only place that said I could stream it was Showtime. So I was like, well, fine, F it. I'll just get a free subscription to Showtime. Tried to download it. And Showtime's like, we can't do this at this time. We can't do this at this time. We can't do it. And I was like, are you serious? So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I was on HBO Max, I think, before. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll say She's All That. Because, yeah, I like that movie. And it is Freddie Prinze Jr., you know, trying to change a girl to be something that conforms to the standards of his high school is kind of problematic.
Sure.
Could work. I'll do this. And Corinne nicely agreed.
Oh, I love She's All That. So I'm like, what? You want to put it in the clown month? Here. Yeah, let's do it.
Rather than Twilight? Shucks, I'm so disappointed. I have to watch this over Twilight.
Seriously. Now, mind you, I am figuring that Twilight will come up again at another point in time. And it's not a calm. There's no calm in that ROM. But other than...
the copious amounts of stare porn.
Yes. Every once in a while, we step out of the calm zone for our podcast, so...
Yeah. Little Monsters was way more horror than ROM, but there was a romantic story in there.
There was a romantic story in there.
We deviate. We pivot. It was full of zombies and blood, though. I wouldn't look at that and be like,
It was rom-com horror.
Rom-com ha. Rom-com horror?
No.
Or rom-com.
Yeah, I don't think that shortening the word horror is a good idea.
When you're trying to pair it up with romance. Okay, I get you. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Corinne, I didn't put any emphasis on asking you, but did you do an outline for She's All That?
Which is why I was 11 minutes late, because I did not, and so...
I figured you would. I'm like, if you didn't do it, it's going to be like, cue suspenseful music. Go ahead and do it real quick, or we'll wait.
So, yeah, I did it by showing up late to our podcast recording.
Okay. I'm sure it's well thought out and
it is artisanally crafted.
Oh, yes, as it normally is.
Yes.
Yep.
Zach, played by Freddie Prinze Jr., is a senior in high school and the most popular guy in school. What? However, he's thrown for a loop after his girlfriend dumps him after spring break. And Zach's friend, Smarmy McSmarmington, a.k.a. Dean, played by Paul Walker, R.I.P., double dog dares him to turn any frumpy dumpy girl he chooses into prom queen. Well, as we all know, no one can turn down a double dog dare, so it's on! Everything is going as planned. The air quotes loser girl is picked, Lainey, an artistic environmental warrior, played by Rachel Lee Cook. But everything is going in plan as planned until it's not. Will Lainey turn Zach into a pottery spinning environmental warrior? Will Zach turn Lainey into prom queen? Or will Smarmy McSmarmington end up conquering all and becoming the most popular over the debacle of this bet? Keep those listening ears listening to find out.
Ooh. Good job, Crin. Very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Artisanal craftation achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Tamara, do you have the opening to She's All That?
Yes, that's why I was 12 minutes late to the podcast, because I had to write out my outline. We open with hands fleshing out a collage onto a large canvas. Who do those hands belong to? Why, it's Lainey Boggs, played by Rachel Lee Cook, who incidentally we've already done two movies with, Corinne. Cross Country Christmas and yeah. Autumn in the Vineyard, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Autumn in the Vineyard, where she kept on getting her hair cut, but it was never cut. Yes.
And she will stay true to that today.
I loved Cross Country Christmas, though. I thought that was a really fun movie.
Yes. I know. I thought it needed to be told that we have done movies with Rachel Lee Cook, and yes, we have enjoyed both of them. Today will probably be no different. Lainey's a well beyond her years teen who follows up her early morning art escapades by making her younger brother breakfast, threatening to spit in his juice if he doesn't wake up on time, and then heading to school. She goes to Harrison High in sunny Southern California, and although it's the same school as Zach Seiler, played by Freddie Prinze Jr., they are worlds apart. Lainey gets dropped off at school by her dad in his pool cleaning truck and is pretty much ignored by her classmates except for her one lifelong friend, Jesse. While Zach rolls up in his stylish Jeep with a personalized license plate and his own designated parking spot because he is class president and is, of course, fawned after by all the girls in the hall as he passes by because he's, dreamy. Zach meets up with his buddies, Dean and Preston, to exchange notes on what they did over spring break. Dean brags that he became a member of the Mile High Club. His friends are dubious. And Zach went skiing with his parents because, of course, he did. But he's eager to see his girlfriend Taylor because they haven't spoken at all over the break. The guys spot Chandler, Katie, and Alex, a.k.a. Taylor's entourage, but Taylor's MIA. Zach asks the posse where his girlfriend's at, and they act weird and elusive before Taylor finally makes her entrance, greeting, "Hey, party people," flaunting a new tattoo, and deftly avoiding a kiss hello from Zach. She completely blows him off until they get to the end of the hallway while she tells him promptly, "I think we need to break up because this just isn't working out for me anymore." A short while later, Taylor and Zach are alone on a bench during lunch. He understandably wants answers, and she begrudgingly obliges. Over her spring break, she was in Daytona Beach with her girls, and one of them got super drunk and made out with this old guy who wound up being Warren G's hairdresser. He got them into the MTV Beach House. And for all the youngsters out there, MTV, when it was still kind of playing music videos, used to have a party house that they would invite a bunch of young beautiful young people to dance in and around pools and film it and call it a show. The Beach House, a.k.a. American Bandstand, an even older show that had dancing young people. So, lots of shows with dancing young fleshy bodies. Anywho, Taylor got handpicked by the director to dance on her very own raft, as she tells it, but when we see the flashback, she actually just ponies up to a raft and pushes a girl who is already there off. She was only dancing for like 5 minutes when she lost her balance and almost fell in the water, but luckily a handsome, guy was there to help her catch her balance. It was Brock Hudson, the dyslexic volleyball player from the real world. Zach season looks two. Confused. Real world? Like Reseda? I know. Real world season two. Did you ever watch the real world, Corinne?
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed watching several seasons of The Real World.
Same.
Yes.
I even sent in an audition tape once upon a time.
Ooh.
That's and again, exciting. Gentle listeners, The Real World was a reality show on MTV and probably the start of reality TV as we know it. Like, they had Cops and then they had Real World, and then the whole world, like the TV land, exploded with reality TV after that because it was so popular.
Yeah. And I can't believe though that they didn't select you, because you would have been amazing on Real World, just saying.
Thank you. The next few days were a blur for Taylor and Brock, as they just clicked immediately. It was as if they had known each other for weeks.
Can we talk about how problematic this whole relationship is?
Sure.
Like she is in high school. Brock is probably 24 to 26 years old.
Yeah. I thought the same thing, and I was like, hello, 90s, that's still appropriate back then. We know this, but it just gets glossed over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's popular and a reality TV personality, so that makes it okay. I don't know if you know that. It's in, like, the rule book.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and that's the whole thing with, like, MTV Spring Break and Girls Gone Wild. It's all this exploitation of young women who are, like, in their teens to very early 20s, being like, hey, we're going to be sexy for you, and that can be fame, and really they're just being exploited. And so
I'm so glad that society caught up.
I'm glad that things are a bit different now.
No.
Nothing wrong with being sexy. Nothing wrong with being a teenager and wanting to, like, look cute and show some skin. Like, nothing wrong with that.
And sometimes those age differences work out, but in my opinion and experience, oftentimes when somebody is very much older, or the guy is very much older than a very young girl underage, it tends to not turn out well.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion on it. Anywho, Taylor cut the feels for Brock, and he must have felt the same way too, because after several rolls in the hay, they found a sketchy van and got tattoos to commemorate their time together. She got a heart of some sort, and he got a very, very bad portrait of himself.
Yeah.
Zach is dumbfounded, and Taylor finishes by saying, we can still go to the prom together because we're obviously going to be king and queen. Besides, you didn't think we'd stay together when we both went off to college, did you? Oh, you did? Oh, that's so sweet. His silence is her answer, and she chuckles, gives him a patronizing pat on the cheek, and leaves. As she goes, we see the quad of high school behind them, and all the students eating lunch nearby were frozen, trying to strain to hear what's happening to the star couple. When Zach looks up from his shattered heart on the floor, the school quickly looks away and pretends as if they weren't entirely gripped by the drama.
Next, Lainey is in art class trying to capture the riots of Mogadishu in her most recent work. Her teacher likes the piece, but doesn't see Lainey represented in it. Two of her classmates, both of whom are doing inspired clown portraits. Yes. We'll call them Bitchy 1 and Bitchy 2, come over and tell Lainey that a lot of artists aren't truly appreciated until they die. So they both brainstormed while they were vacationing in Spain and decided that maybe Lainey should kill herself. Wow. Wow.
I know.
Oh, Feb, woo, no you didn't, you Wary.
I know. Oof. Oh my gosh. And there's a freaking story circulating in the news right now about a high school girl that got beat up online by classmates and then wound up actually killing herself. Yeah. So that's not funny.
Yeah, no.
Kids are cruel.
I am very glad that I did not grow up in the age of cyberbullying, because I got bullied the hell out of, and I can't even imagine how that would have been
if it was on a social platform with a wider audience. Oof. I am so glad I did not grow up in the technology age either, where everything was online and accessible, because I would have been a hot mess.
I already was a hot mess, but yes, it would have been like, boop, 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 boop,
boop. It would have been escalated.
Yes.
It would have been flaming, boiling hot mess.
It would have been the Mount Vesuvius's of hot messes.
Oh, yes. Exploding magma lava hot
mess. Yes. It's the end of a long day of high schooling, and Zach is leaving campus with his bros. Then the announcements are blaring throughout the campus, and his breakup is being announced by the school's DJ, played by Usher, on the intercom. Yeah, because that's normal. Dean tells Zach, bro, you've got to protect your reputation. One minute you're class president, the next you're just a bitch boy. This is harsh, but not as harsh as seeing Taylor's new beau Brock picking her up from school a short distance away. And he's played by Matthew Lillard. Oh, Matthew Lillard, genius that he is. He is a perfect Brock.
Oh, yeah. So good in this role.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He commits. He is all full of, oh, feb. Woo, no, you didn't, you worry. He is the exemplification of that. He's hounded by a gaggle of girl students who want his autograph before Taylor jumps into his arms and fully gets her ass grabbed while they sloppy kiss all over each other. Ah, those were the days. This causes Zach to rage to his friends. Taylor is completely replaceable. There's 2,000 girls in our school, and I can bump monkeys with any of them.
See, this is the yum, 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 ding, 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 ding. No, you didn't.
Yes.
Oh, yes. There it is. This, yep, that's where it starts. Zach, no.
Yes. Zach loses some points from me for this statement. His friends beg to differ. Taylor is an institution. All the guys want a boner, and all the girls want a beer. Preston adds, she's basically you with tits. But Zach digs his heels into the proclamation he just made. You're wrong. Behind all that makeup and clothes, she's a ding, 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 ding. Oh, Fabu, no, you didn't, you worry. A C- GPA and a Wonder Bra. Wow.
Wow. I could chalk it up to his broken heart.
Oof. Let's hope. I could pick any girl in the school, give her a new look, and as long as I'm the guy on her arm, she'd be prom queen instead of Taylor. And I'm like, wow, you think of your ex as a walking embodiment of a C- GPA and a Wonder Bra? Yikes. Yikes.
No wonder why she replaced him so quickly.
Not a good look, Zach. Not a good look. Not that she's a good look either, yeah. But, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, she is not perfect in this either.
Oh, she is beyond. Dean sees an opportunity for a friendly, serious air quotes here, wager, and bets him, I'll pick the candidate, any girl in school, and you will have 6 weeks to turn her into the prom queen. Unless you're too heartbroken. Which is basically double dog daring and bro speak.
Right.
Yeah. Zach agrees. They shake on it and they proceed to walk around the campus to find the one. They body shame several of their students, and but they
the
all
first
get...
one kind of threw me because she was like a little goth and she was just standing on her own, like blowing bubbles and enjoying herself. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'd be like, yes, girl, do you want to go to prom with me? Fuck yeah.
Seriously.
Like, I would have swooped in on that. But they're like, oh, no. Like, they can find somebody, quote unquote, worse. But all the people that they showed, I'm like, goth bubble blowing girl. The next one was like, somebody that talks with their hands. Brain fog.
Valley girl?
No, but she was like on the floor. Oh, God.
A mime?
No. She was just an emphatic gesturer,
okay. And
she was a little overweight, and then the other one was digging for gold in her butt, which I can relate to. You just gotta turn around when you do it, sweetheart, so you're facing the wall and not the campus.
Yes.
All these girls seem lovely, and like I would have been friends with them in high school.
Oh, for real. But they're no whatever the fuck her name is, the C- GPA with a Wonder Bra.
Oh, Taylor Vaughn.
Taylor Vaughn. Yeah, they're no Taylor Vaughn.
Oh, that's right. They're not bitches. You are right on that.
One of Taylor Vaughn's friends in this movie, who is pretty much over her by this point in time, is Gabrielle Union, which I'm like, yes.
Yes,
she plays
girl.
Katie. She is awesome. So all these students get vetoed when Dean sees Lainey Boggs stomping up the stairs only to trip and drop all her art supplies on the floor. She is heated as she attempts to collect her things. I choose you, Pikachu! He chooses her. Zach attempts to backpedal, saying, no, 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 know. Fat, weird boobs, bad personality, perhaps a type of fungus? I can do, but angry and inaccessible is a totally different thing. Dean holds firm because a bet's a bet and tells him he better get started because he's got his work cut out for him. Oh, Dean, you're such a mensch. So, Zach dives right in, or attempts to. He approaches Lainey, who is waiting for her dad to pick her up, and says, hi, Lainey. She ignores him. As I would, because as a person who was extremely bullied in school, she and I both know the only reason why someone like that approaches you in the middle of school, in the middle of a school full of people, is to either, one, ask you to hang out and then rescind it, because why would they want to spend time with you? Or, two, ask you out and then rescind it, because why would they want to date you? So, she ignores him, until her little brother approaches and Zach greets him warmly. Hey, Spaz! While the other not-so-cool students, waiting on their buses or rides, look on in awe, as if a unicorn has clip-clopped upon their small piece of campus. Banner writing there, Tam. Banner writing.
Thank you.
Lainey's brother also has hearts in his eyes and gasps, he knows my name! Oh, and he's played by Kieran Culkin.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Lainey, irritated, scoffs. That is not your name, Simon, and barely glances at Zach, informing him that's not his name, before hustling off to their dad's truck. Zach is embarrassed and dumbfounded. He's not used to being brushed off. Well, fucking deal with it, Zach. Next, we see him at home in a large mansionette, talking with his slightly younger sister, Mackenzie, played by Anna Paquin, whoop whoop, actress from everyone's favorite vampire television series, True Blood. Yay!
I've never seen it.
Oh, you've got to watch it. You got to watch it with Larry. You're going to have hot, sexy times. It's going to be amazing. He's going to be calling you Sookie Stackhouse in no time.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. Is Anna Paquin's eyeshadow game as strong as it is in this scene? Because she is pulling out a full smoky eye.
She has like the eyeliner going really nicely. I was like, I wish I could do eyeliner like that.
In this scene?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She has very nice makeup. Like, it's way more subdued in the other scenes. But this one, like, she's got the eyeliner and she's like, she is laying on. I'm like, honey, you don't need that much. You don't. You are naturally beautiful. Cut it back like to a 5. You're like at an 8. Cut it back to a 5. That's just me and my makeup talk. Not trying to eyeshadow shame her. But I was just, I thought she was going to be like a goth character. And then I saw her later in the movie and I was like, oh, no, she's not that at all.
I thought her makeup looked fine, and I just thought she had a heavy eyeliner on. But anyways, she doesn't go to his school, his sister, Mackenzie. She goes to an all-girls school, but even she knows about his and Taylor's breakup because they played that episode of The Beach House a bunch of times. So if you think about it, she knew about Taylor Vaughn and Brock well before Zach did. Because she was watching The Beach House.
Interesting.
I know, and she didn't say a word.
Exactly what they showed after. Maybe it was because, oh, look at Taylor met Brock Hudson. And then, you know, Zach comes like, oh, I broke up with Taylor. Oh, I bet I know who she cheated on you with. Unless they were full on making out and they showed it, but we'll never know. We'll never know.
If only this was real and we could see back episodes to see the evolution of their love.
You know, I'm kind of curious to see some back episodes of The Beach House now that you mention it. I want to revisit those times again. The simpler times where not everything was recorded except at The Beach House.
So sexy. Mackenzie correctly assumes that Zach has a rebound lined up, but he informs her it's more of a project. But she already blew me off. This delights his sister. I know such a stud as yourself is used to girls just coming to you, but did it ever occur to you to make an effort? Zach is puzzled. What do you mean? Mackenzie rolls her eyes. Find out what interests her. Ask her about herself. That's the only bit of advice she gives before their parents get home, and she quickly grabs her stuff and heads out the back to avoid them yelling over her shoulder. If they ask, I'm at Ashley's. Her brother just got kicked out of military school, and he's a hottie.
Ooh.
I know. I'd be over at Ashley's, too. Zach, on the other hand, goes into the foyer and says hello to his dad. His dad immediately grills him about his lack of college acceptance letters and decides to call Dartmouth, his alma mater, on his son's behalf. Zach asks him not to. Just give it to the end of the week. I'm sure something will come up. His dad reluctantly agrees, and we cut to Zach in his room, pulling out a folder full of acceptance letters from Dartmouth, Yale, Harvard, all the Ivies. He thumbs through them reluctantly and then tucks them away again.
Across town, Taylor is shopping with her besties, Katie and Chandler. She's asking, does my tattoo look red? And Katie is over her growing self-involvement and asks, don't you care about anything anymore? Lately, it's all Brock this or my tattoo that. You don't want to alienate yourself from people right before prom election. This causes Taylor to go on a diatribe. I can win prom queen in fluorescent lighting on the first day of my period, cloaked in tacky rags. My mother was prom queen in 71, my cousin was prom queen in 82, and my sister would have been prom queen in 94 if it wasn't for that scandal on the Color Me Bad tour bus. Oh, I so want to know what happened on that Color Me Bad tour bus. Ooh, I want to sex Taylor's sister up. I am a goddamn legacy, and not to be a bitch, but who's going to beat Taylor Vaughn? A short while later, Lainey's at work at a Mediterranean restaurant that sells falafels. We know this because the uniform includes an unfortunate hat in the shape of a pita sandwich stuffed with falafels. She's trying to upsell a customer on his order and asking if he'd like to supersize his balls when Zach comes in. She peeks around her customer to jeer at him and say, stalking is illegal in 50 states. But he only wants 5 minutes of her time. She steps away from the counter and gives him 5 seconds. Zach stumbles awkwardly into a conversation about wanting to talk to her about, he's at a loss until he sees her shoes, which are covered in paint splatters. Art, he blurts out. I need help with my art homework. She's confused because she's never seen him in any of her classes. And he says it's independent study because he's so busy with soccer and being super popular and doing all the super popular-y things.
Ooh.
Lainey gives him a noncommittal answer about helping if she has the time before Jessie, her bestie, who's sitting close by listening, offers Zach a ticket to the Jester Theater. They were going to go to this art exhibit that night, but he can't go after all. So Zach can have his ticket. Lainey furiously backs Jessie into a corner and hisses, I kicked your ass in third grade once and I can do it again. Jessie implores her to go out with him because she's got to be a little curious as to why the best looking guy in school is pursuing her. And she reluctantly agrees and tells Zach to meet her at the venue at 7. Oh, Jessie, you obviously haven't been picked on enough to know that that could be a setup. But I digress.
Ah, we both hit the setup angle. As a teenager, I had random people on the street do that to me. Just like approach me.
Really?
And just be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God. Cut to the Jester Theater where it's performance night. Zach is sitting alone in the audience, but it's a pretty packed house. There is an art performance going on by the brilliant Mitch. He's under a shimmery shroud and talks about rebirth and a mother's womb while trance music plays over his almost beat poetry. An abstract film is projected onto the wall behind him. Suddenly, the shroud explodes, and from it, Mitch, who is in nothing but tidy whities, and two dwarves clad head to toe in purple leotards emerge. Mitch flails about the stage while the female dwarf rushes to the audience and chokes, then announces, my soul is an island. My car is a Ford. The other dwarf follows suit and announces, I want to be like Mike. Zach looks around and the other attendees seem enthralled with the show, but he's mostly confused. Mitch and his midgets have danced around a burning trash can and are heaped onto the floor when Lainey emerges from stage left with my makeup on and a long gauzy train, which she puts over her head like a veil and chants, be silent, be still, until the other performers join her. And they fade with all of them repeating, be silent, be still, be silent, be still. Everyone claps and Zach gets up to leave, but the brilliant Mitch stops the crowd and announces that Lainey Boggs informed me that we have a new voice amongst us. Zach Seiler, are you here? Zach looks like he wants to sink into a seat, but Lainey and Mitch encourage him to come on stage because art is love, people. Art is love.
Yay! This is my favorite scene in the entire movie.
Oh,
Not the womb stuff, but Zach coming on the stage.
Oh, that's why I was so, like, the womb part was my favorite. That's why I was so dedicated to getting every single detail right.
You did a great job. I have to say, you really captured it.
because it was just such an odd fucking what the hell am I looking at scene. There's no other way to describe it but to be super detailed, because you wouldn't understand it if I was just, you know, kind of telling you about it in a passing way.
I saw it and I still don't understand it, but you know.
You have to be silent and be still to get it, Corinne.
I actually thought it was kind of beautiful when they were saying be silent, be still together. I was like, okay, I wasn't into it, but now I kind of am. And now I feel weird for being kind of into it.
Zach's supposed to perform something, but he's at a loss until he pulls his hacky sack from his pocket. He starts kicking it around and the theater plays a pulsating music accompaniment. In between kicking it, he starts narrating about how everyone's counting on him, how he can never let anything drop. The tricks get more elaborate and he starts getting more emphatic, talking about juggling, responsibility, not dropping it, until the sack falls onto the floor. The music stops and he says simply, sometimes you just have to let it drop. The crowd eats it up and applauds. Later, he's floating from the adrenaline rush and surprised that he actually did something pretty real as he and Lainey leave the theater.
As they walk down the street, Lainey actually starts warming up to Zach until he starts in with the lines that I heard all through high school and college, the lines that friends and random guys have said to me over and over, the lines that say, hey, I think if you made a few changes to be different than you are, then you'd be acceptable. They're stopped on the corner.
See, this is like the Feb. Woo, no, you didn't! Take her as she is. She's perfectly fine. I just love throughout this whole initial part where they try to make her out like she's some sort of like unattractive creature, okay, but, and she's not.
But Tam, here's the thing, is that everybody is beautiful. You know, it just, yeah. like I said in the fucking abomination of a movie we watched the week before last, Something Borrowed, you can slap a corset and some eyeliner on any woman and, you know, make them look a certain way.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I feel very simpatico with Lainey in this movie.
But Zach's still trying to change her.
Oh, yeah. So they're stopped on the corner waiting for the light to change and he looks at her. Have you always worn those glasses? She's looking at the light and distractedly responds, yeah, why? He casually asks, have you ever worn contacts? Your eyes are really beautiful. He straightens her glasses on her face and smiles at her, practically giving her a winky winky. She looks at him. Oh, please. My eyes are really beautiful. Fuck off. I had an instinct. I went against it. This is my fault. She turns around and starts hustling away from him, and Zach is dumbfounded. What? What did I do? No girl has fled from him with such force. So she tells him, when the class president starts touching your face on darkened street corners and tells you, you have beautiful eyes. There's a name for that. There's a whole fucking art movement from the 20s for it. It's called surreal. Then she leaves in a huff. In a huff.
Rightly so huff.
Yes, absolutely. 2 out of 2 co-hosts agree. Huff approved.
Yes. Oh, yes. Huff approved.
Meanwhile, Taylor is finding out that even though she is younger than Brock, he is basically a toddler in a man's body, and she's getting a little tired of it. All he wants to do is watch reruns of himself acting like an asshole on MTV's Real World. And so he is, like, he's literally supposed to be Puck from Real World, I think San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who is a flaming, like, infantile asshole kind of guy.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The next morning, Zach makes a surprise appearance at Lainey's house. He meets her dad in the driveway, and after cordial introductions, he begins showing his new guest all the stuff he pulls out of pools like a jockstrap from a local college. Simon sees Zach and rushes out because they're BFFs now, in Simon's mind. He's followed by Lainey, who wants to know what the fuck he's doing there. Of course, he's there to invite her to the beach, and he's decided that they should be friends. She's not interested and heads back to the house, but Zach plays it cool. Oh, I've got nothing else to do. He informs her that if the beach doesn't interest her, he can just hang out at the Boggs house and play Sega with Simon or listen to more of her dad's What I Pulled from the Pool stories. With this emotional blackmail, she says solemnly, I'll get my suit. They spend the morning walking around the shore. Zach is enjoying the day and Lainey is lamenting about the toxic waste in the ocean, as one does. He asks if she ever lightens up and then hears his name being called. Who's at the beach trying to get Zach's attention? Find out with us after this break.
And we're back. What would make Lainey really buoyant? Why, seeing all of Zach's posse coming down the beach stairs. Zach looks disappointed, but tells Lainey, we're going to have to deal with my friends eventually if we're going to hang out. No, she doesn't. She doesn't want to hang out with you, A. You're forcing her to, so why would she have to deal with your friends? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. Dean leads the crew, announcing that when he couldn't reach Zach at home, he thought he'd be at his spot on the beach. He leans over to Lainey and informs her that many a girl has lost it here. She seems irked, but doesn't storm off. Instead, she spreads her towel next to Katie and Chandler as the guys finish unloading the car. These are Taylor's friends, and they wonder to each other if Zach's mourning period is over and explain to Lainey that he's single and ready to mingle. Chandler asks if they're on a date, but Lainey assures him that they're just friends. A short while later, the gang gets together for a spirited game of volleyball. Preston asks Lainey if she'd like to play. I like Preston. I don't think I say it in anywhere of this outline, but Preston seems like the one of Zach's friends that I would probably get along with the most.
I actually was legit just thinking about how much I like Preston as well, and that we needed to bring that up. And he is played by, I'm not sure about the pronunciation of his name, but Dule Hill, who was on one of the co-stars of Psych, the TV show.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say he's such a good guy.
Yeah, because in the beginning, when Zach and Dean are having their friendly little wager, he's like, whoa, 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 like you're taking advantage of your boy when he's down and out, like, don't do this.
Yeah.
And Dean's like, if you had a tumbler of Shivas and a womb, I'd call you my mother or something like that. So they just keep shitting on him when he's like trying to make peace between them.
He's like, hey, I'm just like a really legit good guy. I was like, he is the hottest guy in this entire movie because like I'm all about his vibe. We're all members of the Preston fan club here at ODK. We have our badges that say Preston for life, love, and ever. They're amazing.
Then here he is again, being a good guy. Preston tries to include Lainey and asks if she'd like to play a game of volleyball. Chandler sneers and says, oh, no, she doesn't. And why does she say no for her? Because she explains, I saw you in gym and you run like a girl.
Ugh.
Lainey puts her sketchbook down and retorts flatly, I am a girl. Uh-huh. And Chandler waves her off. This spurs Lainey on because I'm saying this with my finger waggling. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. And she is in. And so is Katie, for that matter. We get a montage of beach volleyball. Zach coaching Lainey on how not to play like a quote-unquote girl. Guys oogling boobies. Chandler getting a non-participatory smack with the volleyball while trying to tan. It seems to be a great fun-filled afternoon. So much so that Preston invites Zach and Lainey to his house for a party. Dean puts his arm around Lainey's neck and insists she come because Preston throws the best party. His father owns Harrison Ford. The actor? Lainey asks. No, the car dealership. Everyone else encourages her to come too, except Chandler, who says, Taylor will shit a brick if Zach and Lainey show up together, regardless if they're broken up. Lainey finally agrees, but when the gang leaves them alone, she tells Zach, ugh, I'm sorry, I know I said I could, but I can't make it. I just remembered that I have to clean my house. He smiles mischievously, but nods, and they leave the beach.
Aww.
A little later, we see Lainey talking to Jesse on the phone. He encourages her to put herself out there and stop sitting at home with her dad while he watches Jeopardy in his underwear and gets every question wrong. She looks up, and that's exactly what's transpiring in her dining room. But then there's a knock on the door. It's Zach, who thought she could go to the party with them if he saved her a little time. She tries to brush him off, but he will not be brushed. A troop of guys beeline past him with cleaning supplies. It's a JV soccer team here to do his bidding, and his bidding is to get Lainey to that party. She balks that she doesn't have anything to wear, and he produces a little red dress from, I don't know, his pocket? It's from out of nowhere.
Magic.
I know. It's like, ha, from his sleeve.
He's got the sexy up-close magic tricks going on. Oh, yeah.
Most people pull silk scarves from their sleeve. I got this little red dress. It's also silk, incidentally.
I have to say, though, like, I'm not a big fan of up-close magic, but if they were pulling out really cute dresses for me to wear in my size, I actually would be kind of into that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And accessories? And tasteful accessories? I don't want a quarter. I want some, like, gold hoop earrings with, like, a nice patina on. Yes. Yes. Exactly that.
You look excellent in a good pair of gold hoop earrings, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it wouldn't have to go shopping. You get a show and then you get like accessories for your evening. It'd be perfect. She still resists because he looks all dressed up and she's a mess. To which Zach pulls out his last prize. Through the front door comes Mackenzie, his sister, Yay! There for hair and makeup support. We then get a funny mashup of the soccer players cleaning while Pa Boggs obliviously shouts the wrong Jeopardy answers and reads his paper. Upstairs, Lainey gets her eyebrows plucked. Mackenzie gently asks, Lainey, have you ever seen Sesame Street?
Oh, this is so wrong.
Alluding to the fact that Lainey's eyebrows could be mistaken for Bert. They can call her Bert Boggs. But eventually, Lainey kind of eases into the makeover. She never got to do this sort of thing with her mom since she died when she was little. Back downstairs between scrubs, the lads are answering Jeopardy questions correctly, and this is what finally jostles Dad to the present. He realizes his house is overrun with teen boys and nervously asks, Who are you people? But he must have let them stay because before we know it, they're leaving and Lainey's making her grand entrance. She comes downstairs and looks hot as balls. Mackenzie cut her hair, which is way more flattering. She has contacts, the right amount of makeup, and of course the little red dress. Zach and Simon are both in awe until she almost falls down the last two stairs in the pair of heels she's also wearing. But Zach catches her and they're off to the party.
So kiss me. They go to Preston's house, which looks like a 90s club, and the party is in full swing.
I have to say,
yeah,
that you turned me on to that podcast, That Aged Well.
Yeah.
And they did She's All That a while ago, and I'm picking up on the backlog. Uh-huh. And so when I wrote this, I legit said, it looks like a 90s nightclub from Miami. And I was like, oh no, I think that's exactly what they said about his house. I'm going to take it out. I don't want to plagiarize That Aged Well. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I'm just going to say it looks like a 90s club because it does. But damn, they so called it if they did say that.
That Aged Well is a Moz. I totally enjoy them. And they do another movie that we're going to be doing that I really enjoyed listening to. So,
which one?
We're going to be doing Jack Nicholson is a grumpy racist misogynist movie.
Yes. As good as it gets.
Yes. Thank you. It's not called Jack Nicholson is a grumpy racist misogynist.
That doesn't narrow it down. That's a couple of his movies.
True. So they go to Preston's house, which looks like a 90s club, and the party is in full swing. Lainey gets pulled away almost immediately by a tipsy Katie, who wants to introduce her to a pair of Puerto Rican twin hotties. And I gotta say, Katie gives all signs of being legit nice.
Like, uh-huh.
At first when I was watching it, I was all, what's her angle? And I'm like, you know what? I think she just kind of likes her, and I think she's actually just kind of nice.
Yeah, I think she's in the market for a new best friend after Taylor became so vapid. Because even in the last volleyball scene, when Preston's like, hey, do you ladies want to play volleyball? And Chandler was being Chandler. And
yeah.
Katie's like, oh, no, thanks. But then when Lainey got up to go play, she goes, you know what? I'm in too. Like,
yeah.
She's like, let's take this relationship to a new direction. Like, this friend dynamic has been stagnant and shitty. And maybe this, like, Lainey chick is a pretty cool person and gives us all like a breath of fresh air, and she is here for it.
Yeah.
I incidentally thought that too, and I was like, where are you taking her? What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
What's gonna happen? You setting her up for something? Are you? Katie? Look at me, Katie.
Because it's been a while since I've seen this movie in its entirety. Like, I've seen like little portions on TV or whatever, but you know, like just right. sitting when down and watching on. The movie I haven't seen in decades probably. But Once she's gone, Dean descends on Zach and seems pissed that he actually made Lainey hot. And, because we did not mention that she got a haircut from Mackenzie.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry.
I should have.
Maybe
you did. I said, hold on.
I probably just missed it.
Mackenzie cut her hair, which is way more flattering. Because she looks so good with short hair. She does not need the long locks that she did have. That totally weighed down her little face.
Yeah. No, there's two people who I frequently look for hairspiration, and one of them is Rachel Lee Cook.
Jennifer Goodwin also looks good, who we've done in previous movies, looks great with short hair.
The other person is Katie Holmes, who I go to for hairspiration. She has lots of really cute short haircuts. Yeah.
I don't have a hairspiration person in my life. I mean, might need to remedy that.
Yeah, I think you do.
My hairspiration is myself.
Hairspiration! The other person I go to for hairspiration is Megan Good, who's from Think Like a Man, and she has these really cute, like, half bobby, short side kind of haircuts. My lips are not as luscious as hers. They will never be as luscious as hers.
Oh, yep. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lainey has, she looks really good in the red dress. She has a super cute bob haircut where previously it had been just kind of long and in a low pony. It wasn't flattering. And Dean demands to know if Zach is catching the feel since they're together 24/7. Zach scoffs. It's just a bet. And then we see Taylor and Brock make their grand entrance. They are clearly drunk, and Taylor demands Brock, give me a beer, even though she has a drink in her hand, because I know I have a drink in my hand, but I want a beer. Lainey breaks away from the twins and passes by Bitchy One, drunkenly hunched over a toilet in the restroom. Lainey grabs her tissue so Bitchy One can clean up a bit.
Oh, you mean Bitchy One, the one that said she should die to be a inspired art or appreciated art. Oh,
yes. That Bitchy One. She just gets the name Bitchy One because it's au February, and she falls fully under that.
Oh, yes.
Bitchy One eyes her drunkenly and asks, how does it feel to know I'm rich and I got a full scholarship to my first choice art school while you are cleaning up my puke? She promptly passes out after saying that, spilling her makeup on the floor. And Lainey is suddenly struck by artistic inspiration. She turns and heads back into the bathroom and steps into the room with Bitchy One, closing the door behind her.
She's going to kill her, isn't she? She's going to kill her?
Yeah. She's going to kill her. She's going to make her choke on makeup.
What happens if the artist kills somebody versus themselves? What happens then?
Oh, that's like straight to the top of the charts. You know that fucking guy with the clown paintings who had
John
all those...
Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, bodies in his house. Yeah, exactly. You know. Oh my gosh. And Bitchy One does clown paintings too. Bitchy One and John Wayne Gacy.
Ooh. Oh my God. The connection nobody made but should have.
Oh. Next move. The sequel is a serial killer movie with Bitchy One in the lead. Bitchy One's clown revenge.
Don't make me laugh.
That's right. This is a very somber version of One Dry Kiss.
That's right. We're doing serious this week.
Serious. False serious. Meanwhile, Zach approaches Taylor with a beer in hand that Taylor immediately grabs for herself because everything is for her. Taylor announces, you can get Brock's autograph. He's coming back soon. Zach responds, no thanks. I saw him on TV the night before. He ate his own toenails for $10. Very impressive. This pisses Taylor off and she shouts at him to jump up my ass. But he just shakes his head and politely declines because he's already been there. Just then, Rick James is, give it to me, give it to me, give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff, comes on, and Brock excitedly announced, babe, babe, it's my song. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, that stuff, that sweet, funky stuff. Which the lyrics were down below in the subtitles when I was reading it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is about a guy who's getting turned down by a woman and trying to pressure her into sex. Awesome.
Oh yeah. You know, Rick James, he's down for those like super slow romantic jams.
Oh yeah.
Like that Rick James classic that warms the heart, that slow jam called Super Freak.
Oh, that's just like, it's so tender and emotional, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Touches you in ways that you wish it wouldn't.
Brock clears the dance floor to show off his signature moves, much to Taylor's dismay. He pops, breaks, dances, locks, twerks, rides the pony, and everyone looks on confused and or entertained, except for Preston, who constantly has to move stuff out of his way so he doesn't destroy his house. Lainey has moved on from her project in the bathroom, and we see Betry One stagger out of the bathroom. And people chuckling. She blearily catches her reflection in a hallway mirror, and her face has been painted in a perfect imitation of the clown that Bitchy One was painting in art class.
Oh, Lainey.
Green and yellow diamonds all over her face. So good. With a red nose.
I have to say that Brock's dance performance baffled me because drunken teenagers, like, everybody was kind of moving out of the way, like, what the fuck is this guy's deal? Like, if there's any part house party that I went to in my teens, 20s, like, people would have been like whooping, like, "Woo, yeah, you go, boy, you go." Like, they would have been like hooping and hollering, especially if he was Brock Hudson, the fucking real world
guy. Yeah,
which because yeah, if he was a real world darling, Brock Hudson, like, people would have been like so excited and like stoked to see him because his dance moves, although crazy, were like pretty impressive.
No, his dance was actually really impressive. However, he had absolutely no sense of anybody else in the room except for him. Which I think was the problem. Oh, and
like any other drunk person is completely like conscious of their space. Yeah. Most of those people are wasted too. This is why I'm like, yeah, you're all wasted. You know you are. Like, that was the one thing that kind of like took me out of it. And I was like, this does not seem like a high school party to me.
So, Bitchy One was lovingly painted as her clown by Lainey. And I give Lainey all the claps for that move. Because Lainey needs to have a little teeth. And I'm glad she showed her teeth a little bit in this instance. Like, it was a perfect retribution, I would say.
Yeah, especially because Bitchy One was so awful. Like, telling her she should kill herself. And then saying, "I'm rich and you're cleaning up my puke," when she was just trying to help her in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally justified.
When Lainey was being nice to her, even though she knew that she was a horrible person.
Yeah.
And she didn't do anything like permanent to her or anything like that. Like, she can wash that off her face and she'll be fine.
Although if it was permanent marker, it still wouldn't be mad at it.
Well, then we'd get to see her throughout the rest of the like movie with just this light tinge of green diamonds and yellow diamonds and red on her face. It would be kind of beautiful. Yes. Yeah.
Just keep using lemon juice. It'll be gone in 5 to 7 days, I'm sure.
In the midst of the give it to me, booty shaking, Taylor finally spots Lainey across the room and beelines towards her. She is wearing a red dress as well. It is a different red dress, but it is the same color of red. And she demands to know what she's doing there. And Lainey coolly admits that she was invited. Right before Taylor pours a drink down her dress, stating, "Oops." Lainey barely flinches before responding evenly, "Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of why I avoid places like this and people like you." This incenses Taylor. "Avoid us? No. To the people in this room, you are vapor. Nothing but a waste of yearbook space." Lainey's eyes start filling with tears, and Taylor eyes her. "Oh, are you going to cry?" And Lainey runs up the stairs and out of Preston's mansion before anyone can see the tears fall. She's leaving but trips on the driveway, and Zach tries to help her up, but she declines, so he instead looks on concerned as she tearfully says, "I promised myself I'd never let them see me cry." Zach tries to soothe her. "You had a good time today, but sometimes when you open up to people and you let the good in, some bad gets in as well."
You know what, Zach? She wouldn't have any good or bad if you just left her alone. If you just left her alone and you weren't anywhere in her equation and she could finish out the year.
I thought what he said was like really kind of true and on the nose. And like, she actually had some moments that she never would have had if she hadn't. She had some good stuff happen, including painting Bitchy One's face.
I think she might have done that on her own. I mean, well, she didn't, she wasn't at the party, but yeah, she wouldn't have been able to retaliate like she did if she wasn't there. But Zach is still the bad. He's still the bad. He's trying to play it off like he's the good, but he's still, quote unquote, the bad because, well, you know, we'll get into it.
Okay. Okay. I'm curious. So.
Because he was, never mind.
Okay.
We'll wait. We'll wait. Oh. Have this discussion later.
Oh, okay. Okay. She finally composes herself enough to get up. I want to go home. So Zach wraps his jacket around her shoulders and they leave. The next day at school, Jesse is itching for party details. Okay, thoughts. They're never explicit about it, but I really feel like Jesse is gay.
Yeah, I feel like he is too.
Maybe he hasn't come out yet. Maybe Jesse is gay, but he hasn't come out yet.
Yes, I strongly would agree with that statement.
Yeah. Jesse is itching for party details, but Lainey isn't saying much other than being surprised as classmates in the hall keep on telling her, "You rock!" Lainey is handed a bright pink flyer which reads, "Vote for Lainey Boggs for prom queen." She is shocked. Who would nominate her? Katie comes by and congratulates her just as the Taylor posse gets paged. 911, it's a Taylor emergency! Damn, it's a Taylor emergency!
Oh, hurry up. Let's go.
Chandler wants to rush to her friend's side, but Kitty doesn't feel compelled to run to her overly self-involved friend every time she snaps her fingers. Regardless, they go to her. Turns out Brock broke up with Taylor before he went on MTV's Road Rules All-Stars. Chandler tries to soothe her wounded soul by saying, "You're better off without him." And she is, in all truth, like, regardless of the fact that she's a horrible human being, she is still better off without Brock.
I think that Katie didn't go, because when they show the next scene, it's like her two other friends, but Katie's not there. So I don't think she goes to suit, like, to...
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I didn't notice it. It's the other... Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's Lil' Kim, her other friend.
Her name is Lil' Kim?
No, the rapper Lil' Kim is... Hold on, I have to look this up because I was like looking when I did the outline and yep, her friend, her other friend, not Katie, not Chandler, but Alex is the rapper Lil' Kim.
This was before she was Lil' Kim, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It was before all the Lil' Kimness that made her Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Probably why I didn't recognize her.
Kimberly Lil' Kim Jones. Aha. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Way to go, Lil' Kim. Man, there's so many people in this movie. Like, so many.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy cow.
I want to know who the casting manager was on this film, because they probably are like, I know talent when I see it. And look at all the people that have gone on to do great things.
Like Cross Country Christmas.
It's a gem. It's a gem.
It's a gem. I totally agree. Cut to the soccer field. Zach and his team are practicing, but Zach is off his game. He misses an easy goal by a mile. In the locker room, Dean ponders out loud if Zach's distracted because, you know, he hasn't gotten booty in a long time. Dean states, "But maybe it's Lainey who you really want to tap." Zach is pissed. "It's not about that," Dean pushes. "Well, if you're not going to bang Lainey, then you won't mind if I partake in that sweet piece of ass." This pisses off Zach, and the two wind up tussling on the locker room floor. They are pulled apart by Preston, but Dean is pissed and reveals what kind of friend he is to Zach. "You know, for 4 years you've been fooling everybody, making them think you're so cool." Dean narrows his eyes. "Your hot shit days are over, and this is one bet you're not going to win. You're going down, asshole."
Yep.
Zach looks at who he thought was his friend, and he leaves in a huff. In a huff!
I think Dean's got something, like, he is calling Zach out on his shit, because although he acts like, "Hey, I'm the nice guy," like, you were still objectifying all the girls on campus. You were still calling Simon spaz, like, you were still being douchey, but less douchey than Dean. And so I think Dean was rightly like, "Yeah, motherfucker, you think you're all better than me, but you're really not."
But he really is better than Dean is.
I mean, at this, ultimately, yes. But in Dean's eyes, he's probably like, "We're the same, bro. From, like, what we've seen so far, like, we're the same." A little later, Jesse's at the helm of Lainey's prom queen campaign. Lainey has got the support of the gay pro-choice hygiene and oppressed prisoners clubs. What the fuck is up with these clubs at this school? The hygiene and oppressed prisoners club? Mm-hmm. Anyways, they all make tasteful, very nice posters on her behalf. While across campus, Taylor and Chandler peddle free lattes for votes. But where is Lainey during all this? She's at home in her basement making a collage with her mother's portrait in the middle. She gets another unexpected visit from Zach. He notices the portrait and Lainey shares about her dying from cancer and how she didn't cry, but she held her little brother at the wake and knew nothing would be the same. Then Zach chastises her for putting up so many walls and blocking everybody out. She counters that she may shut people out, but at least she makes decisions, which is more than she could say for him because he hasn't picked a college yet. Zach tells her she doesn't understand, but if he's throwing stones in glass houses, he better come clean. She tells him to explain it to her, and Zach says that his dad is pushing him to go to Dartmouth because that was his school, and it's been grilled into his head since he can remember. Lainey's giving him no sympathy, and rightly so, and tells him to check his privilege. He's a rich 18-year-old who can go to his pick of schools or go study squid fishing in Borneo if he so chooses because he's an adult and capable of finally making his own decisions with a healthy dose of opportunity to boot.
Yeah.
Her argument gets even more impassioned and he finally relents and asks, hey, 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 do you ever look in the mirror when you say those things? She wants to know why he's really there and he says he forgets. Gets a lost look in his eye, and the kiss tractor beam must have brought him over there because they inch closer together. Their lips almost touch when Lainey asks, "This isn't you just trying to get my vote for prom king, is it?" The kisses interrupt us of it all. Zach freezes and makes a hasty retreat, saying he has to help his dad, while Lainey peppers him with questions about how she got nominated, but he doesn't answer. The next day at school, the art department is getting behind Lainey, and the student body is talking/rapping about Lainey and Taylor's rivalry. I did like that little rap ditty that they did in the quad over there.
Uh-huh,
The Lainey Boggs. Thought that was kind of like, it brought me back. My high school.
Oh, were they doing little freestyle rapping?
Yeah.
Oh.
At my high school back in the day, like they used to do that freestyle rapping, kind of like rap battles in the quad.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I know. Oh, the 90s. Taylor's starting to get pushback from the students, and the tide seems to be turning. In the cafeteria, Lainey's having lunch with her friend Jesse, but is distracted. He notices that she hasn't even said anything about his food choices, i.e. eating chips from a company that owns a non-dolphin-friendly tuna brand, and Lainey finally asks her bestie if she's kissable. And he can't answer because he's known her his whole life and is gay, and would frankly rather get chastised by her around his environmentally unfriendly lunch choices. Just then, Simon asks if they'd like cracked pepper on their food and grinds a bit before skating off. Lainey chuckles as her brother leaves, and Jesse says seriously, he's crazy. She thinks he's still talking about Simon, but he's not. He tells her, Zach's crazy for not kissing you. Meanwhile, the little brother in question is getting harassed by two bullies. One pins him in a chair and forces him to look at a girly magazine while the...
My least favorite scene in this entire movie! My least favorite scene in this entire movie!
Oh my god. You anti-pubic hair eating. You know? Not trying to yuck anybody's yum, but that's gross.
No.
While Simon's getting harassed, Zach comes to his rescue. He sees to quickly deduce what's going on, forces the bullies to apologize to his friend Simon, and then for good measure, makes both of them take a bite out of the pube pizza.
They get up close and personal with that scene too. Yes. Like with the shot, I'm like,
we don't need to go into detail. We don't gotta go into details. No. They could floss with the pubes that are on that pizza. They both oblige while the entire cafeteria looks on disgusted. His work done, Zach leaves, but not before catching Lainey's eye, who's watching the whole exchange a short distance away. She has hearts in her eyes, but he widens his like a deer caught in headlights and leaves. I have to say, like, the bullies were like, oh, you're going to make us eat this pizza? I know I'm a douchebag, but I'd be like, fuck no, and, like, leave. I would exit stage left and be like, you can beat my ass. You can come at me. Like, you can try to, like, smack me around, but I am not eating this pew pizza. I will not. There are worse things that could happen. The next day, Dean puts on his sweetest personality and goes to Lainey's work to ask her to prom. Dean asks Lainey to prom? What the fuck? She rightfully tells him no, and he informs her that she shouldn't hold out for Zach because he's still got a thing for Taylor. Way to poison the well, Dean.
He's so gross.
I'm sorry, but I know that Dean is gross, but Paul Walker still looks pretty damn fine in his young age. I was like, damn, Paul Walker. It took me a minute to realize. I'm like, that's fucking Paul Walker. Like, R.I.P. Yeah. Paul Walker. Yeah.
He looks pretty on the outside, but he is rotten on the inside.
No, for sure. For sure. It was the first scene where I was like, hello. And then he opened his mouth and I was like, oh, never mind.
It's like, Zach is one of those people who his journey in this is that, you know, he's just lived this life and he hasn't thought about what he's doing at all. And then he runs across Lainey and he starts thinking actually about what he's doing. And he's like, oh, my gosh. And if he had been like, if Preston had been his primary friend, then he would have been doing like making different choices all the way along. But Dean is his primary friend. He's one of those people, like, depending on his primary friend, he's kind of like a different person, you know? Mm. And like, there are those people who they could go either way and they haven't really been examining their life very much. And then there are people who are just kind of shitty. And then there are people who are just kind of good. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be like a horrible asshole to a bunch of people, you know?
I feel like Preston is Dean and Zach's primary friend, but he's kind of like the mediator. Like, yeah. He'll be like, hey guys, hey, because Zach and Dean are like frenemies. Like, if they didn't have Preston, I don't know how long they'd be friends. He wasn't like intervening, be like, come on guys, let's all just get along. You're being shitty to each other.
Preston makes everything work. Oh, Preston. We love you, Preston.
He's the glue that holds those two together.
Preston fan club for life. When we next see Zach, he is in full on prom task mastering. He's making a list and checking it twice, while a bunch of classmates mill around him, putting up decorations and prepping for the event. Taylor approaches him, stating sweetly, just a reminder, we haven't finalized our prom plans.
Ew.
We said we'd go together, even if it was as friends. Zach asks, what happened to Lord of the Dance? And Taylor scoffs. He is so 2 weeks ago. Her eyes narrow. I hope you aren't holding out for Lainey. She gestures to the other side of the room. There, Dean and Lainey are laughing and chopping it up. Zach is heated. He goes over and demands to know if Dean asked Lainey to the prom. When he admits he did, Zach calls it bullshit, turning to Lainey and stating softly, I thought we were going to go together. Dean, playing innocent, is indignant. Okay, enough's enough. I like this girl, and you've got to stop this whole bet thing. Lainey quietly asks, bet? And Dean casually drops, yeah, it was really stupid. Zach said he could make any girl prom queen, and you were the one picked. I'm guessing he thinks he'll improve his chances of winning if he takes you to the prom. He looks over at Zach, feigning concern. People have feelings, man. It's this scene right here that, like, really is like, oh no, Dean is a step above.
Mm.
Zach and Dean are not on the same playing field. Dean is just a straight up asshole. Because his whole manipulation of that situation, Zach wouldn't do something like that. But Dean definitely
Zach should
would.
Have told Lainey a long time ago what was going on. Like, I think five scenes ago, Zach should have pulled her aside and been like, hey, look. I had this bet with my friends, but I like hanging out with you, so I'm just going to come clean.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that I'm glad that it came out so that this whole conversation could happen so that Lainey knew. But the way that Dean is playing it, all like, I'm just here for Lainey. And man, people have feelings too. Like, that's just like,
right.
Next right. level villain.
It's true. I completely 100% agree with you. But I also, then it plants the seed in Lainey's mind. Like, would you have told me and before prom, like, what if we went before prom if Dean didn't swoop in and be like, hey, bro, don't do that to her feelings, blah, blah, blah. It's the day of the prom. Is he really holding out to win the bet? Like, that's where I'm like, Zach, buddy, old pal, if you're really, truly turning to the good side and going towards the light, like, tell her, be true, like, and honest about your feelings and that you think she's a cool girl. And then I feel like he should have came clean. It seems like he's holding out to actually win the bet. And the fact that it got like plopped out in front of both of them by Dean was just a shitty way to find out.
I totally agree that it was a shitty way to find out. I don't think that he was not telling her so that he could win the bet. I don't think he really cares about the bet at this point. I think that he, one, didn't want to risk what he was like building with Lainey, because you can tell the point where you know that it's more than about the bet is when they're down in the basement and they're about to kiss and she says, "Are you doing this for my vote for prom king?" If he had been doing it for the bet, he would have like chuckled it off and kissed her and all would have been easy peasy good everything. But instead his conscience hit him and he was like, "Oh my god, what am I supposed to do here?" And he left.
His conscience hit him, and his conscience should have all like also kicked him in the ass and be like, "Hey bro, tell her about the bet, because you know it's going to come up eventually. You have privacy, you have time to explain yourself, like you guys are having a heart to heart, like tell her." Duh, no brainer. Yeah. In my opinion. And if he doesn't think that Dean would have blurted it out at some point, he's just stupid and doesn't realize what an evil villain his friend actually is.
I think he realizes what an evil villain his friend actually is when he turns on him in the locker room and just goes off on him and is like, "Oh, I thought that we were friends. Like, we may not have always like been perfect. This is next level. This guy has some seething resentment. Yeah. He needs to get himself to a therapist stat. Boy."
I mean, but they have like the friendly competition rivalry. And sometimes in those instances, not saying that Dean's a good guy, but the claws come out and nasty things are said.
Lainey is feeling all kinds of ways and asks Zach, "Is that true? Am I a bet? Am I a fucking bet?" Zach, with his wounded puppy dog eyes, confirms, "Yes." Taylor is relishing this turn of events and drapes herself over Zach's shoulder, eyeing Lainey. "You didn't really think you became popular on your own, did you?" "Oh, you did. That's so sweet." Lainey slowly backs away, backs away, backs away. And Dean gives his old friend a knowing smile before chasing after her. Taylor saunters away, but not before telling Zach, "Pick me up at 8. "Fuck you very much, Taylor." Does Zach pick up Taylor? No, he does not. Instead, he spends the early part of the evening trying to get Lainey on the phone, but she's down in her basement painting and ignoring his calls. Eventually, her dad comes down and gives her a pep talk about missing out on being young because she puts her responsibilities first. Maybe every once in a while, she should enjoy being a teenager before she turns 85 and is sitting around wondering where her teeth are. He asks if she has a prom to go to, but she says no. She can't go to the prom without a date. But there just so happens to be a handsome young man upstairs that wants to take her. She looks dubious and slowly makes her way up the stairs before her dad adds, "And Lainey, just have fun. For you and no one else." She eagerly rounds the corner and it's... Dean! He drops a few great lines about how he knows she doesn't trust him, but he didn't ask anyone else to the prom in the hopes that she would say yes. She's touched and even chuckles when he says, "You don't even have to change. You can just wear that," referring to her paint-splattered smock and clothes. Meanwhile, across town, Zach makes lemonade out of lemons and has his sister, Mackenzie, go to the prom with him. He reflects on how he messed everything up, and his sis tells him not to worry. Lainey will be there at the prom, and you can still fix things. And in yet another living room, Taylor is sitting alone on a couch, besides two full glasses of margaritas, fuming that no one has come to get her yet, and starting to realize that maybe no one ever will.
Wah, 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 wah. Cut to the prom, which is in full swing. Zach and Mackenzie arrive, and she tells him to go find Lainey and cut in. He sees her across the dance floor, and she is in like a full-on prom dress. And I'm like, I had reservations because I'm like, Lainey does not seem like a dressy kind of gal. Where did she get this dress from? How did she magically have a prom dress like in her closet?
Well, she was probably planning on going to the prom because she was nominated for prom queen.
Okay. They just missed that whole like prom shopping montage that I'm used to seeing in these 90s rom-coms. So it threw me off. Where'd the dress come from?
Oh my gosh. If she had gone prom dress shopping with Mackenzie and Katie, that would have been so cute.
And Jesse.
And Jesse, yes.
He sees her across the dance floor, but before he can approach, Taylor swoops in. She says, "I forgive you," and pushes him onto the dance floor. MC Usher announces that they're going to do the dance that he taught them, and the next couple of minutes are my favorite impromptu choreographed dance scene that they shoehorned into this movie to add a few minutes to the runtime, also to the song Rockefeller Skank. Right about now, Funk Soul Brothers, check it out now, Funk Soul Brothers. Zach keeps trying to dance towards Lainey, but she flails away from him, oblivious. When the music stops, Dean excuses himself, and Zach is nowhere to be found. Or perhaps he's changed his mind, because when Lainey notices him next, he's cozied up to Taylor slow dancing. He gives her a pleading look, but doesn't move. Meanwhile, Dean is in the men's bathroom, passing around his flask and announcing to his classmates that tonight is the night. He's got the key to room 409 and has shelled out $300, and Lainey's eating up everything he says. He's gonna nail her. Preston, always the voice of reason, teases, "Sounds like a bet coming on," but he gets serious and tells Dean, "Lainey's not gonna give you any," and leaves his friend and his talk of conquest behind. Dean, undeterred, heads out, leaving the room empty. Or is it? Who should come out of the bathroom stall but Jesse, Lainey's lifelong friend. He rushes out to find Mackenzie and breathlessly tells her of the plot at hand.
I did want to point out that Mackenzie and Jesse meet after Zach leaves for the dance floor to do the Funk Soul Brother dance, and Mackenzie and Jesse start hitting it off with each other.
They make fast friends.
Yes.
Just then, the principal takes the stage to announce the prom king and queen. First the king, and it's a unanimous decision. Zach Seiler! Ah! He makes his way to the stage and accepts his crown. Next the queen, and it was the closest race the school had ever seen. 54% to 46%. Taylor is mouthing her name over and over again until they announce it. Taylor Vaughn! Yes! She and her legacy prevailed! She gets on stage to accept her crown and plants a kiss on the reluctant Zach's cheek. He in turn gives a speech about high school being the highlight for a lot of people. They ace the test, win the game, or, he looks pointedly at Taylor, get a crown. But high school's not the end of it. There's a whole lot of life out there, and I, for one, am not going to forget that. The whole time he's making his speech, Mackenzie and Jesse are trying to get his attention, and Dean and Lainey, after finding out that she didn't win, quietly duck out. Jesse finally gets Zach's attention and blurts out Dean's plan to bang Lainey in the hotel room. Zach rushes out just as Taylor gives her acceptance speech. She thanks everyone who voted for her and has some choice words for those who didn't. Unfortunately, we don't get to hear them because the principal unplugs her microphone. I do remember one thing that I think Paul said on that didn't age well is when Jesse and Mackenzie are trying to beeline towards Zach to get his attention. They're like, why aren't they just trying to find Lainey? Why aren't they trying to get Lainey to tell her the plot at hand instead of going to Zach? Like, what are they doing? Like, they're going to the stage, Zach, Zach, Zach. And they're like, find your fucking friend. What the hell?
I know. Like, Jesse should have been trying to find Lainey and Mackenzie should have been trying to find her brother.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I could think of is maybe because he's on stage and clearly visible, whereas Lainey was kind of in the throes of the crowd and maybe they did try to find her but couldn't. But that's neither here nor there.
Or maybe the throes of passion with Dean, huh? Huh?
Ew. No, don't even say that joking. That's good. No. But Zach takes to the street, or rather to his Jeep, where he frantically calls a bunch of hotels, trying to pinpoint where Dean booked a room, but doesn't have any luck.
Next, we see Lainey coming home. Her dad and brother have waited up for her, and she tells them she had fun, but her face says something different, as does the tone of her voice. She tries to head to bed, but her dad calls her into the living room because there, out of the corner of her eye, is Zach waiting. Her fam heads up to bed and Papa Boggs offers that they should talk in the backyard. Probably so they don't wind up in the bedroom. We don't need no $300 hotel rooms. Oh, yeah. He kisses her forehead and leaves them. Zach asks if Lainey's okay, and she assures him she is. She also realized what Dean had in mind just took her a little longer than everyone else. They make their way outside and she shows him this foghorn little keychain air horn that she has in her purse that you can hear a half mile away. She put it up to Dean's ear directly when he was trying to get freaky, and she says, "I hope it didn't do any permanent damage." They both chuckle, and Zach admits that when he made the bet, he didn't know Lainey or really know himself. She asks, what was the bet for? And what did you have to lose? He says, my best friend, before I met her, I thought I had to have all the answers. But now I realize I don't. And I'm kind of enjoying it. He asks if he can have the last dance, and she says no, he can have the first one. When he says my best friend, I thought he was talking about Paul Walker, Dean. And, and then when he says she, I was like, oh, he's talking about Mamie. That's sweet. He asks if he can have the last dance, and she says, no, you can have the first one. They put their arms around each other and sway when her dad discreetly flips a switch in the backyard, lighting up hundreds of tiny bulbs. Twinkle la, twinkle la, twinkle la action. Lainey admits that she feels just like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman without the whole hooker thing. He laughs and asks her, what now? And she says, art school, what about you? He says he's thinking about art school too, like performance art. He smiles and quietly chants, be silent, be still, be silent, be still, before Lainey tells him to shut up and plants a dry kiss on his lips. As the camera pans out onto the night sky, Lainey asks about the terms of the bet, and Zach assures her, you'll see, I never cop out on a bet. A short while later, it's graduation day, and all the gang are graduating. Taylor is angrily smoking a cigarette in the back row. Dean gets his name called, but doesn't hear. Maybe the hearing damage was permanent, so someone has to nudge him up. That's Lil Kim who does. Then we get Zach. He is sitting amongst the other students, completely naked, except for a volleyball that's covering his... Where are you going to put that junk? All that junk up, not in your trunk. I'm going to cover it up with a volleyball ball. His name gets called, and all the ladies around him look at him expectantly, and he gets up. We see a close-up of Lainey right before he tosses the ball. She looks on awestruck, and we know that Zach is forging ahead into his future without anything. Hang-ups, reservations, clothes, shoes that hampered him in the past and in the background were played out by... Kiss me beneath the milky twilight. Lead me out on the moonlit floor. Lift your open hand. Strike up the band and make the fireflies dance. Silver moon sparkling. So kiss me. The end.
Oh, thanks, Fido.
So, Tam, what do you think of She's All That?
I still love this movie. I could still watch it over and over again. And I sadly hate to admit that I love a good makeover, even if it's in a movie. Even if you're like, you need to just stay who you are and be true to yourself and don't let anybody change you. I'm a sucker for hair and makeup and clothing changes, which is probably why I'm such a fan of Queer Eye. I think just because of my nostalgia. And I still think that Zach and Lainey's relationship was just, it's sweet. I'm glad he goes through the transformation. I'm glad he has that character arc. I wouldn't have forgiven him that quickly. Lainey's a better person than me. I would have probably like made him fester for a few more days before I talked to him. But I'm going to give this movie a 4. I'm going to give it 4 dry kisses. What nice. About you, Corinne?
I'm going to give it 4.5 dry kisses. Maybe I should give it 4 dry kisses. It's not very inclusive. It's not very, well, 4.5. I give 4.5 dry kisses. It isn't super inclusive. It does have Gabrielle Union and...
Usher, no, but they're all like tertiary characters.
Yeah, Usher doesn't really count because he's just like...
Oh my God, DJ. He taught them the dance. He taught them the dance. Are you kidding me? He said, this is the dance I'll taught you. Mm-mm. Can't discount that. I'm sorry.
I was thinking more Dulé Hill, Preston, our boy crush of the movie. Yes. And Kieran Culkin had hearing aids, so he was hearing impaired. But so what I like about this movie is that, they do a little makeover for Lainey, but they don't have her go on that arc where she becomes a terrible person and then she finds herself again, you know, which is frequent a lot in a lot of these makeover movies. Suddenly she gets wrapped up in being the popular girl and she turns her back on her friends and blah, blah, blah. Like, that didn't happen. She and Jesse still remained fast friends throughout the entire thing. And the only thing she did was stood up for herself more than she had previously, which is good. So
also the whole school started realizing, hey, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When she's not being standoffish and truculent, she's fairly cool.
I think a lot of the school kind of thought she was cool to begin with, but she didn't realize that, you know?
I loved all the posters that they did when she was going for prom queen, like all the artsy fartsy posters and buttons and stuff that people came forward with because she was like the artsy one in the prom queen run. I thought that was cool. I'm in a little bit of a sick brain fog funk, so I think that my review was like, it was good, 4 stars. And now I'm like, okay, Tamara, didn't go into depth, though. Just jump on into Corinne's.
Was pretty, did enjoy.
4 stars. I mean, try kisses.
And I really felt Lainey on so much, mm-hmm. having been the awkward outcast in school. She had one more friend than I did, but... still.
Yeah. I really wish Jesse would have came out too. Yeah. Like when him and Mackenzie hit it off, I'm like, oh, it's because you both think each other are fabulous, right?
Yes, exactly. As somebody who didn't really have friends in high school, this movie, I felt on a lot of different levels with Lainey and her journey.
Mm-hmm.
So 4.5 dry kisses, Rachel Lee Cook, hero, and... what movie do we have coming up next week?
It is Love to the Rescue. We are, of course, starting a new month, which is going to be dubbed March is Going to the Dogs, because all of our movies are going to showcase at least one or more dogs.
And Love to the Rescue is a Hallmark movie. So
oh,
I pretty much guarantee that Tamara has not seen this movie before.
You don't know me. I've seen it 3 times. I'll have you know.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what happens? How's there a dog in this?
So there's a dog and there's a girl and the girl has the dog and then there's a love interest.
Oh my God.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody else. I don't want to ruin it for anybody else. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Spoiler alert. So if you have anything you'd like to say about She's All That, our January month, or our upcoming theme of March is Going to the Dogs, including Love to the Rescue, feel free to email us at gmail.com. yes, thank you.
See what happens when you do that. Let us know.
Just at gmail.com. You know, it's us. We're so ever present.
We are Gmail.
Yes. OneDryKiss@gmail.com. And if you would like to reach out to us via the social medias, you can do that on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at One Dry Kiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd appreciate it. But in the meantime, we appreciate you stopping by, and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! See you next time.
See you next time. Who's at the beach trying to get Zach's attention? Find out with us after this break.
Is it the dolphins? Is it the toxic waste? Is it the nudists that are also on the beach with them?
Hello, nudists. We have a performance art show for you to visit. I think you'll really like it.